The Switch 2 game key card, words you do not want to utter, just took a very unexpected turn that we were not expecting to hear about, and we want to talk about it.
Yeah, the game key card saga is one of those things that never seems to go away. It's always kind of lingering over the Switch 2 discussions. And at this point, it's been kind of circling around a lot of the same talking points.
Right.
But now we have something new has entered the ring.
Yeah.
Which is around Star Wars Outlaws. Which
a game that you are playing right now.
Right, a new release for the Switch 2 from Ubisoft. I've been playing this game. So I played this game on PS5 when it first came out.
Right.
It's a pretty good game. I wouldn't say it's like a mind-blowing game. But from what I've seen so far, like, this is a pretty good version of the game on Switch 2.
Mm-hmm.
We are not Digital Foundry. We will never try to pretend to be Digital Foundry. But all I can say is from what I have seen with my two eyeballs, I like how this game runs.
From someone that has previously played on a PS5 and now is playing on a Switch, your personal opinion is still valid.
And I had a very positive, unexpected surprise when I booted the game up and it's like, would you like to import your save from your other platform? And I said, yes, please. I certainly would, because I spent about a dozen hours playing it on the PS5
right.
And now I'm just picking that up. So that's nice. More games need that. Game key cards, though.
Yes.
So Star Wars Outlaws is on a game key card. And obviously, mm-hmm. when that news came out, people
were mad.
Were not happy. But now some new information has come from Ubisoft themselves that we've never heard a developer saying this about a game key card.
Yeah, very interesting wrinkle.
And I don't know, depending on your position, it might make you think differently about the whole thing and why people choose to use them in the first place.
Right, right.
So this was in response to some coverage of the game from Digital Foundry. This is from Rob Banton, who is the audio architect of the engine from Ubisoft Snowdrop that they are using for Star Wars Outlaws. And he just came and laid it all out. So let's look at what old Rob Banton had to say.
Yeah.
Snowdrop relies heavily on disc streaming for its open world environments. And we found the Switch 2 cards simply didn't give the performance we needed at the quality target we were going for. I don't recall the cost of cards ever entering the discussion, probably because it was moot.
Interesting.
Fascinating stuff. He went on to say that I think if we designed a game for Switch 2 from the ground up, it might have been different. As it was, we'd build a game around the SSDs of the individual target platforms, and then the Switch 2 came along a while later. In this case, I think our leadership made the right call.
Wow.
So this was a game that came out about a year ago, mm-hmm. came out on PS5, Xbox, PC. Obviously, the specs of those are a little bit different, and on all of those, you're running off of the system memory, not spinning it literally off of a disc.
Right.
For people who don't know, if you buy even a disc of a PS5 game, you put it in, it installs it to the hard drive. There's no scenario where I'm just playing something
off of a disc.
Yeah. Versus, let's say, Cyberpunk on a Switch 2, I put it in, I'm not installing anything to the system, it's just running off
that card.
And it's interesting because when the Switch 2 came out, people did do tests. I remember there were side-by-sides of loading of Mario Kart World of games that were installed to the system memory and then just running off of the game card, the physical game card. And it's like, oh, look, the one that's installed to the system is actually substantially faster.
Yes.
So that's kind of the proof of the pudding of what our friend Rob Banton is saying here, which is like, look, the way that we built this engine is, we're constantly streaming information off of the system. And, hey, that game card just wasn't cutting it. So there's a lot of reasons people choose to pick a game key card. A lot of times people think they're just cheap. They're trying to save money. In this case, there's a whole other factor hovering over all of this that, again, I've never seen a developer say this.
Yeah, I think for the longest time, we all just assumed that the reason why anybody would choose the yucky game key card is because they were trying to save a buck.
Yeah.
And we had all sort of bought into the premise that, all of these greedy companies, shame on them, they are just trying to make more profit because we all know the game key cards are pretty expensive because they only offer the one size.
Right.
But this is such an interesting and fascinating layer to this and can actually mean a lot for the system, the Switch 2 overall, and also maybe for the future of other third-party games. And we all know, we talked about this on this channel a lot, we've seen some very differing qualities in terms of the third-party games that are coming to Switch 2. It's great that you're having a good experience with Star Wars Outlaws, and that game, you know, we were looking at it together. It looks really nice on a Switch 2, but there's very, like, sort of all across the board, you know, really bad quality third-party games coming to the system. So could this game key card scenario, this other layer of the technical side of why, you know, we can't put these third-party games full on a cart, like, that is another layer of whether or not we think the Switch 2 is going to be a viable option for third-party games for its life cycle.
We have to also ask, like, are there other games that have run into this scenario and just haven't come out and said, I hope, you know, this guy did not get in trouble for just coming out and laying it.
Probably not.
laying it bare.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of people working on games, and they've all got, you know, a lot of them are working off of a proprietary engine or something.
Exactly. It's like, we don't know.
We don't know
the technical specs
of
that.
How all this stuff works. So I'm going to ask you, like, does this kind of revelation around Star Wars Outlaws, does this change the way that you think about game key cards? Does it change the way that you might think about companies who choose to use them?
Yeah, I think it does, because I just never knew there were other facets to the conversation around why a game key card. Again, it was so, like, black and white in the beginning, where it was like, yeah, these companies are just doing this to save money. They want to make more money off of the person buying the game. But this is actually raising a lot of different questions. You know, like, for me, I'm probably never buying a game key card, but I do worry about the state of third-party games on Switch and whether or not the hardware and the capabilities of the hardware and the you know, I think a physical game cart for a Switch 2 kind of plays into that conversation, is like, can it keep up with the way these third-party developers are making games? And that part of it, like, it just feels like there's so many challenges now for these third parties to bring a game to Switch 2. And, like, a lot of them probably really want to, because obviously there's a huge audience of people that would love to play their games and they want to reach them. But it just seems like there's a lot of hurdles now. You know, we've heard so many stories about Unreal Engine doesn't really work well with Switch 2. Now we have the situation where these game, you know, the physical carts don't work well with certain engines. You know, there's all these, like, problems that developers are running into bringing their games to the system. So this is just, like, another one to add to the list. And I think from that perspective, it definitely makes me feel and think differently about what, you know, the game key card situation, but also about, like, third-party games on Switch as a whole.
So I have a slightly different reaction to this, which is, in some scenario where Ubisoft, you know, didn't have this issue or the engine worked fine, I still think this game would be on a game key card. Like, we have seen how enough of the big studios, publishers of Ubisoft's size and caliber are approaching the Switch 2, and everything is on a game key card. So in this case, like, they have this interesting, you know, edge case of, like, oh, we couldn't do it because of this. Even if they didn't, I still think this game would be on a game key card. So I think they have found, you know, they found a way to still do it. The game itself runs well. I think that's the thing that is most important here. This is their proprietary engine. It's not like everybody else's engine that we know of, you know, has these sorts of issues. There's a lot of different ways that you can make a game. So I think this is a very interesting, unique story, and it's good for us to know about this, since this is such a constantly discussed topic.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really change my feeling on things.
Yeah. I think, you know, with this conversation, there's so much negativity around the game key card, and I feel like a lot of companies see an easy win when they can say, hey, look at us, we're not using that dirty game key card, we're putting it on, you know, full physical, we're giving you a full, you know, we've seen a lot of, like, a lot of positivity when Cyberpunk did it. I think the latest game that you and I noted that they were, like, really out there, like, touting, hey, we didn't use a game key card, was the Yuka Replay League game. Mm-hmm. So companies are also going, like, out of their way almost to try not to do this,
right,
because they know that it's, like, an instant win with the Nintendo community.
So,
yes, you know, they maybe were going to put it on a game key card anyway. Like, obviously, they had this very specific reason where they couldn't. But I do think a lot of companies are taking note of the just the very negative reaction to game key cards. And they know that, like, if they could, whether it's financially or whether it's technically, use not a game key card, they seem to want to do that and then seem to want to talk about it because they know they'll get away.
Yeah, and to this point, those are mostly kind of smaller companies with games that reach
not Cyberpunk.
A more niche. That's the one outlier. Cyberpunk is the outlier. But, you know, until we see the Ubisofts, the 2Ks, the EAs of the world saying, "Oh yeah, we're not using that dirty game key card either." Until that happens,
yeah,
I think it's going to be hard to see a lot of change at the very high levels of these mega publishers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of my feeling on it. But it's a very feel good story when one of these other games says,
"Instant win.
We're breaking out. Look at
instant
us.
Instant win."
Yeah, and they just become kind of, you know, the cult hero.
Yeah.
Of the Switch 2 audience.
Exactly. They are immediately a hero. They're immediately seen in a very positive light, even though the game is a little bit shaky.
Right.
Like, hey, at least we didn't use a dirty game key card, you know? So I do feel like it, because the conversation is so pervasive, and it's been, you know, it hasn't slowed down, it hasn't lost steam since the beginning of Switch 2's life, these companies are looking. I do think so.
Now, let's look at this from another perspective. Let's say you are, like, a technical lead at Nintendo, and you're reading this article, and you're like, what? Like, is there anything that you can do to be like, oh, here's a solution that we can offer for developers?
Yeah.
Because they get this feedback all the time.
They have to.
Like, well, I'm running into this challenge, or, oh, can you help me work around this thing? We don't know. Like, we're new to this system. What can you do? Like, what can Nintendo do to help out here?
I feel like they definitely know how to get the most out of the hardware.
They know all the ins and
outs. That's their whole job, you know? And it is really interesting, and this is also related to some of the other challenges that these poor third-party developers, facing a lot of challenges, you know, where we were talking about how a lot of these third-party developers didn't get dev kits until very late, so they just don't know the system that well yet. They're still learning it. I think if Nintendo doesn't, they definitely should offer, like, solutions, whether it's like if it's a really, you know, strong partner that they want to make sure that they have a very positive experience bringing their games to a Nintendo platform, like literally give them a guy or a team of people to help them make their game the best they can from a technical perspective, like help them. If anything, they should have like resources and documentation and process on how to do this, because again, people just don't know the system that well. They have not learned the ins and outs yet. So I hope Nintendo is, you know, doing that. I don't know if they are, but they should definitely step in to do something.
Well, here's an easy solution that actually, you know, goes beyond this specific case of Ubisoft and actually could have a positive benefit for everybody, which is if you have a game card with the full game on it, when you put it in for the first time, it can ask you, do you want to install the game to system memory?
Yeah.
Exactly like a PS5.
A PS5, yeah.
And then, you know, in this Ubisoft case, all right, well, now we're running it off of the faster internal memory. We don't have this issue. And for everybody else, we saw the side-by-sides of Mario Kart World and other games. It does load a little bit faster. So there are people out there who are like, I'll take any edge I can get. Sure. Mm-hmm. I would like to, you know, save 15% on my load times. Yeah, I'll install this. So I wonder if that's something that they are thinking about. It's not something everybody would do.
But the option is good.
I'm not sure I would do it for every game. But yes, it's a good option to have. And again, we don't know how many developers are out there who would be like, yeah, this would actually be really nice for us.
Yeah.
So maybe they're thinking about that. Maybe they should be.
They should be. They definitely should be offering more solutions than just taking a backseat to all of this.
Yeah.
Because I think, again, like they kind of set these poor third-party developers up in a sort of a hard time,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, if they want to make sure that the Switch 2 library is, like, super robust, and then of course they have all their first-party games, even their second-party games, they probably have an edge, and then they'll be able to obviously bring that to a Switch 2 and have it run perfectly and have no problems, but yeah, you gotta sustain this generation for 7 to 8 years. You're gonna need some third-party support. So I hope that they are doing some stuff to just, like, help them on their way. Because right now I do think some of these third parties are kind of set up to just have a hard road when it comes to, like, porting stuff over to a Switch 2. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Yes.
Huh, makes you think.
Game key cards.
I still don't own one.
Continues.
And I won't.
Yeah, I don't really want one either. But who knew? A different unexpected wrinkle with this whole conversation. Yeah, let us know. I mean, I know how you guys feel about game key cards. Yeah. You don't need to tell me.
But you can tell us again if you want.
If you want to vent, that's fine. Be nice, though. But did you hear about this interesting unexpected reason as to why Ubisoft used a game key card? It was news to us, and I thought it was very interesting to talk about it. All right, that's it for today. We'll talk to you later. Bye.